We still do 7 NUFC Matters show a week for free. But if you want to help support NUFC Matters, then there are a few ways of doing it. Hit the like button on each live broadcast and video. This helps the channel grow. Hit the subscribe button and select the all notifications bell so you don't miss a single show. If you want to help us financially, then you can join the channel using this button with the membership starting at $1.99 a month. Or you can drop us a donation in the chat using a super sticker. We're also looking for sponsors. If you'd like your brand advertised on the flyers for the show and featured during the ad break, then email John at nufcmatters.com to arrange today. Welcome along to NUFC Matters. Those were the days with myself and George Mitchell. How are you, George?
Fine, thank you, Steve.
Good to see you, mate. Good to see you. And which year are you taking us back to on this show?
2002, 2003. Quite an important year in many ways. It's a European Cup year to begin with. Stadium's finished, so Bobby Robson's not getting robbed of cash for players to build the stadium. That's all finished. And our average attendance is sticking nicely at 52,000. It's a promising season. A season where, very predictably, the big ones, Manchester United, Liverpool, Arsenal, they're the ones that are looking at the title. We've got to give it a go. Transfers, well, the big one was Jonathan Woodgate, wasn't it, coming from Leeds. That was the biggie. And there's one or two outgoings. The one that will make all hearts bleed, if they can remember, is Marcelino went back to Spain. Oh, dear me. He took his fingernail with him as well. shouldn't be unkind to the lad, but what a desperate transfer that was. But never mind. So it was an interesting, we're looking at an interesting season. Typical of Bobby Robson, very thorough in his preparation when we're going into Europe. With 9 pre-season friendlies and all against top sides. What's happening in the rest of the world? Well, top films, pictures, if you go to the cinema, Catch Me If You Can, The Pianist, Adaption, and Minority Report. Now, that's one of the cruise films I like. Minority Report was a good one. Top of the Pops, well, I've got four songs, How You Remind Me, Dilemma by Kelly Rowland, Foolish, and You Got It Bad. I can't remember a single one of them. but that's what was around anyway. Anyway, let's crack on and have a look at the season. You've gone so through the preliminaries, the strips and things like that, Steve. Yeah, they're great. I like that strip. I don't know why, but it has a nice feel to it. But a lot of people thought the stripes were a bit too wide. I don't know. But anyway, it was a nice strip for me. And the pre-season friendlies, whole host of Dutch teams, Capel, De Chanters, Verenthal, Betterbard. All these connections, obviously, of Bobby Robson's. Then he hoys in Nottingham Forest and Wolves. We'll get beat off Forest, we'll beat Wolves. And then he brings Barcelona just before, as the last friendly before the start of the season. Also, just before the season starts, we play our first preliminary round of the Champions League against Zenica from Bosnia. an interesting groupman. But we win that first. We win that first match 1-0, and set us off to a good start in the league. So in the first home match is West Ham United. Interesting. Sorry, go back to that first European match, which was in Bosnia. There still was 1,000 Toon fans went, you know. made themselves well heard. Unfortunately, the thing was spoiled by Partizan Belgrade fans coming to the match and causing all sorts of trouble. But never mind that. That's we went with a good start. So right, home game. Let's get the season off to a start. We're playing West Ham, and a good football side as we're used to. Bobby Robson's first side is Given, Hughes, Bernard, Solano, Dabizas, Bramble, Viana, Dyer, Shearer, Lualua, and Janus. And the West Ham side, David James, PS, Stuart PS, Repka, Daly, Winterburn, Schmerl, Sissi, Carrick, Sinclair, Defoe, and Cole. Some interesting players on that side as well. However, an interesting game. First half, even Stephen, good football, but nobody looked like they were going to break the deadlock. Then same to start the second half. Then suddenly, on about the hour, a little man called Lualua took the game by the scruff of the neck. And that's him on the front of that program, actually. 61 minutes, he puts with the lead. 72, he gives with another one. And then to add to the third, the Shearer on 76, and Nobby Solano with a beautiful free kick on 86, makes it 4-0. So we start off with a big win. It's a Monday night match at 8 o'clock kickoff as well. It's a good win. Next game is a away game at Manchester City, and of course. We know that their manager is none other than Kevin Keegan at this time at Main Road on a Saturday, 12:15 kickoff, which was unusual in those days, but of course television rules as it does even more now. And we have a really decent shout of it. Team unchanged from Bobby, City have got Schmeichel in goal, Steve Howie at fullback, Sylvain Distan at centre back, Wright Phillips for Berbania, Bekovic, Jensen, Huckabee, another name that with Magpie connections, and Anelka. It's quite a decent game, but the one that is set off by Huckabee, who's tearing the right side of the field up using his pace. And on 36 minutes, it's no surprise when he scores. But after that, the game goes a bit flat, and it's a defensive game. And that's how the game ends, 1-0. We our first away game is a loss. But
I can't remember whether Keegan celebrated either.
My memory is he didn't. No, I do remember now that you've made us think about it. He just shook hands and disappeared.
Yeah.
He didn't make a big fuss about it. And we now have the second leg of our Champions League qualifying round, or first competitive round, first phase competitive round. And it's the people from Bosnia again. This time it's St James's Park. And it's a good game, but a one which Newcastle are all over this side. Diane Lualua with her pace, and Shearer with his bustling style, of course, has got them frightened to death. And Hugo Viana's playing a tidy game, the lad from Portugal. Same side, unchanged side. Given Hughes, Barnard, Solano, Dabizas, Bramble, Viana, Daya, Shira, Lualua, and Speed. The substitutes, O'Brien and Amiobi and Kerr, are on the bench. The Slavians, the Slovakians rather, have talented internationals in their side, but they're just not not at the game, really. 2-0 at half-time by Daya and Lualua, and Viana and Shearer, 74 and 80 minutes, wrap it up, and it's a very, very comfortable win for Newcastle at St. James's Park. And so then leave that for what is, you know, one of the tough away games of the year, to go to Anfield to play Liverpool. And it's full house, 45,000 at the game. And 0-0 at half time. Good football, but nobody's threatening to break the net. And then, as you would expect, of course, the goals are goal differences changed by Liverpool at Anfield. And on 54 minutes, a man called Didi Haman opens the scoring. It would be an ex-Magpie, rather. And then on 73 minutes, Michael Owen gets a penalty, takes it himself, and it's 2-0. And it looks like we're going to head for a 2-0 loss. But then all of a sudden, on sort of 75 minutes, Alan Shearer starts to upset the Liverpool defence. They're having a go at him, and he gets his own back by laying a free kick off to Jack Gary Speed, who takes the second ball and makes it 2-1. And then, just to rub the salt into the wounds, Shearer, having ruffled the fellas of Hippier and Traore and Murphy in defence, gets into the box and makes it 2-2. So we'll leave Anfield with a 2-2, which is not something we do very often. But a good game, well-fought game. But for various reasons, Shearer really was man of the match. He used his guile as well as his football skill to upset the Liverpool defenders. Next is a home game against Leeds United. Always a tough game. And the lads are always expect, I think, a tough game with Leeds. The fact that it's at home is matterless. It's always hard. You know, you're hard in every sense, because you know that in defence, Leeds have a reputation of having people that don't take any prisoners, and that's certainly true with this. Our side is unchanged. Sorry, you know, it is changed. Lauren Robert comes into the side on the left wing, left side of attack, and it's an entertaining game. We get off to a bad start though when Mark Viduka, and next Magpie, was soon to be a Magpie, scores in 5 minutes, which kind of upsets the apple cart. And we'll keep at it, but not getting anywhere near scoring. That's the problem. Leeds side, Robinson, Mills, Danny Mills, who's on TV, Jonathan Woodgood, Di Matteo, Hart, Bowyer, Dacourt, Barmby, Alan Smith, Viduka, and Carey Kewell, of course, the Australian flyer. 87 minutes and Alan Smith makes it 2. We didn't play badly, but we just couldn't get near the goal. The onion bag was safe from us that afternoon, that's for sure. We then have a away game at Chelsea, which is another tough game to go to. And Bobby sticks to his side. Side's unchanged from the Leeds game. Chelsea side, full of stars. Kulicini in goal, Melchiot, Gallas, Desai, Stanic, De Lucas, Morris, Lampard, Zenden, Gudjonsson, and Zola, names to conjure with there with Chelsea. Good side, but strangely the pundits aren't tipping them to be at the fighting for the title. They're kind of in the also runs, a bit like us. Very, very bad day. In fact, it was thunder, and at one stage the referee did consider taking the teams off, though thunder was so bad, but he didn't actually. But the rain and so on that went with it was awful. So it was a nasty day. We give the game away in the first half. 14 minutes Gudjonsson and 26 minutes Zola made it 2-0 at half time. And despite trying, we just couldn't get back in the side in the game, and so we lose to Chelsea 3-0, which is unhealthy for our league position. Then we're next Champions League. It's phases. This is phase one of Champions League. The Europeans mess about with these cups so much that it's either a phase or it's a conditional or it's something. But this is phase one. Dynamo Kiev at St. James's Park. And we're at Dynamo Kiev and in the Olympic Stadium in Kiev, and which is the home ground of the Kiev team. Relatively small ground, 17,000 maximum at that ground, and no surprise, at least 1,000 juries at the game when it's difficult to get to and all the rest of it. Well, the juries managed to get to it. Kiev littered with internationals, of course, Ukrainian internationals and Serbian internationals, and the odd Russian international thrown in as well at the time. And they're a very good side and gave us a very, very tough game. 16 minutes, Sataškić scores. And then 62 minutes in the second half, Katovic scores the second. And we can't get back into this game. It slips away from where. Good account to ourselves. The team plays well. Unchanged team again. But we can't get back into it. We've got to save our efforts for the return leg to see if we can get some goals back. We then come back to a derby game against the Mackhams at home at St James's Park. Full house, 52,000. For Sunderland, and unchanged team. Given Hughes, Griffin comes in into the side, but that's the only change. The rest is unchanged. The Sunderland team: Sorensen, Wright, Babb, Boakland, Gray, Piper, McAteer, Renier, McCann, Kilbane, and Flo. The decent side, that Sunderland side, but they didn't seem to knit as a team. Some good individuals, and of course on the bench was Niall Quinn, of the who everybody knows quite well, and we set off on a flyer. Bellamy slips in a nice one in 2 minutes and calms the nerves. And then just before half time, Shearer wellies one in from the edge of the box to make it 2-0, and everybody goes into half time quite comfortable. Second half is more notable for the niggly fouls that went on, and Shearer was the target for quite a lot of them. Boakland, Wright, McCann, Williams all had a go at Shearer and ended up getting booked for it as well. Lauren Robert gets booked for us because he has a go back at Babb, Phil Babb, the fullback, who's having a go as well. But comfortable 2-0 for us with a full house cheering Newcastle on. We then off to Feyenoord for to Holland for the Feyenoord comes to us for the next round of our Champions League. Nice Tuesday night, nice night. The conditions were fair, and a good. You know, it's everybody's really enjoying this competition. A full house again, which is great. Unchanged team, given Griffin stays in the side, and it's end-to-end stuff. Good football. Feyenoord got lots of Dutch internationals in. Emberton, Van Vorderben, Rasa Song, Boesveld, Pardo, Van Hoojink, and Buffel. And on 4 minutes, of course, they score. Their Pardo scores with a deft header from a corner. And despite really giving it some welly to get back into the game, we couldn't hit the net. Lots of chances, but we couldn't hit the net. We just were not at the races in terms of scoring goals. Next game is an away game in the league against Birmingham, and slight changes in the team. Bobby brings O'Brien in, so the team becomes Given Griffin, Dabizas, O'Brien, Hughes, Solano, Dyer, Speed, Robert, Shearer, and Shearer and Lualoa. Jenis on the bench, and Amiobi on the bench. Now, in terms of league, we're well above them anyway, but the question of can we do what people expect we to do, which isn't always a thing with Newcastle, but we do on this occasion. It's comfortable. You can see that Newcastle aren't being pushed too hard. Solano gets a nice typical Nobby goal, a nice little dribble slot in the bottom corner on 34 minutes, and we go in at half time 1-0 up. We don't look like we're going to score again, and they're not pressing me too hard, but substitute comes on. Amiobi comes on for Lualoa, and he's barely on 10 minutes when, just before the end, almost the last kick of the ball, 89 minutes, he makes it 2-0. So a nice tidy win for him. A welcome one, because we're sliding down the wrong end of the table, which is not which we don't want to. Even at this early start of the season. Next game is a away game in the European Cup against Juventus in Turin, and sides changed slightly. Hughes is back into the side, so it's given Hughes, Griffin, Dabizas, O'Brien stays in, Jenis comes in, Dyer, Speed, Shearer, Solano, and Robbe. Big name in Juventus sides, their goalkeeper Buffon, who's the Italian goalkeeper for 15 years or something like that, an enormous record in international football. Moretti is in the back line, and Edgar Davids, of course, the Dutch lad in the side. Paul Nedved, another dangerous player, and of course another name, synonymous to football in Italy, Del Piero is in that side, and Marco Di Vialo, another very very talented player. So it's going to be a tough game. Apparently there's a I just read in this thing that there's a program for the match, and that's not something that Juventus did, but they decided to do one because it was the European Cup.
And I suspect if anybody's got one, it's probably worth quite a bit of money now because they didn't do many. Good game. We'll certainly give it a go, but again, can't stick the ball in the back of the net. Juventus can. Del Piero eventually, 65 minutes, gets the first goal. And just to show his class, he gets a real pearler of a goal in 81 minutes to make it 2-0. So we're relying on our performance at home when we for this one. It's if we can get the away legs back. Come home to win a home match against West Bromwich Albion in the Premiership, and a one that we should win. They're a good side, but they're not on a par with us, really. Bobby has faith in the same team, given Hughes, Griffin, etc. And Albion come with good team, good side. Murphy in goal, Gilchrist, Craigan, Ballas, Clement, Johnson, McInnes, Marshall, Roberts, and Doby. Marshall's decent centre forward. At, when he was at his height, he was looked at by Newcastle, I know, for several times. But a good side, and it's a good game. The we get a fright because Ballas, the big centre half, heads in from a corner on 26 minutes, and it looks like that's what's going to stay. Then, just before half time, last kick of the half, Alan Shearer. Bends a nice one round the defenders and past the goalkeeper to make it 1-1 at half time. And I must say that's how it looked like it was going to stay until as time went on. We got to about 60 minutes, and Shearer started to run the defenders ragged. You could see them looking over their shoulder every time he moved. Well, they didn't move quick enough because on 69 minutes he made it 2-1, and that's how it stayed till the end. A good 2-1 win, a good recovery considering some of the bad results that we've had during that period, particularly away in Europe and so on. Next game is an away game at Blackburn, Shearer's old stamping ground. And, well, Blackburn aren't in the running for titles or things like that, but they're still a good side. And full house at the Ewood Park. It's going well. There's a Dunn scores 2 at 5 minutes and 8 minutes, and it looks like we're going to get whitewashed. But Shearer pulls back one on 36 minutes, so we go in at half time 2-1. And looking even Stephen. But unfortunately, that's not how it stays. Although, straight after the half, Shearer makes it 2-2. A lad called Taylor, an own goal by Griffin, and then Taylor again on 74, and suddenly we're 5-2 down. And never looked like recovering from that. It really was a bad loss. Blackburn side, some big names: Friedel in goal, Hellenberg, Johansson, Gillespie, our Gillespie, former Gillespie, Flitcroft, Dunn, who eventually comes to us, Thompson, Ostenstad, and York, Dwight York. A good side, but as I say, the pundits didn't see their chances for the title, but the performance in that game, they look very, very good indeed, extremely good. So we're now home for the return leg against Juventus, and near enough full house, the one which is excitement. The big Italian teams are always welcome on Tyneside because they bring a certain passion with them as well. And I remember that night they brought quite a lot of fans with them as well. Harper, Hughes, Griffin, Solano, Bramble, O'Brien, Robert, Jenis, Shearer, Lualua, and Speed was our side for that night. And we Interested, Bobby gives Steve Harper a game. Juventus, Buffon in goal and captain. Thuram, fullback of great fullback, great reputation, and the rest has played in Turin. Good game, memory, but defensively the Italians are strung across the pitch. There's no way they're going to let anybody through. And then as it looked like it was going to be nil-nil, Andy Griffin from fullback suddenly appears from nowhere, does a 30-yard sprint and passes everybody that's anywhere near him and slams the ball into the bottom corner. Buffon had no chance. And we're 1-0 up, so we've got a goal back and everybody's chuffed a bit. So I remember the great joy in the Gallagher corner at the fact that we'd beaten Juventus, but in such a style. Next game is a home game against Charlton Athletic. Charlton, a good football inside. The manager, Kirbishley's, building a reputation for himself. And which it's a game we should win. But then, as I often say, what Newcastle should do and do are two different things. You've got to get used to that. It was set afire by Charlton's Bartlett scoring on half an hour. And from then on, Newcastle just went bananas. How the score stayed as low as it did, I don't know. Hit every bit of woodwork in sight. 37 minutes, Andy Griffin gets another goal and makes it 1-1. And second half, quite exciting. And then on 59 minutes, just before the hour, we get a free kick. And who should step up to take the free kick? None other than Lauren Robert, who I always thought approached these things like a gunslinger. He cleaned his boots, he pulled his socks up, he pulled his shorts up, he made sure his shirt was straight. It was like he was getting ready to go out to dinner, not playing football. But what a character. And then Welly, from well outside the penalty area, it screamed across the top of the wall and into the top corner, far top corner. And the goalkeeper didn't even move. And Kylie was a good goalkeeper. He never even got near it. They had Rowett at fullback, ex McAdams and Rufus, Fish Robinson, Scott Parker, Jensen, and a certain Robbie Musto that they bought from Middlesbrough, who used to be a thorn in our side when he played for Middlesbrough. Well, thank goodness he wasn't a thorn in my side this night. Young and Ewell and Bartlett. A tidy side, but we're just too good for them that night. So 2-1 win against Charlton. Then we've got the return game against Dynamo Kiev at St. James's in the European Cup. And again, Bobby brings Harper back into goal for the European Cup match. Otherwise, it's an unchanged team. And Dynamo Kiev come with the team intact, identical to the first game, and it's a full house, which is great. Marred by the fact that for some reason Kiev are determined that they're going to hold on to the lead that they got, but by hook or by crook, and there's lots of nasty little niggles and fouls, and not very comfortable at all. 0-0 at half time. And the way they're playing, it looks like that's where it'll be at the end, because there's very little football. And as soon as the players are getting close to one another, there's lots of niggles, shirt pulls, off the ball incidents. It wasn't a particularly nice match in football terms. However, on 47 minutes, same guy that scored in Kiev, Shatashkis, makes it 1-0 in 47 minutes. In 58 minutes, we get a free kick, and up steps Gary Speed this time to float the ball over the wall and into the top corner. And then on 69 minutes, with all the shoving and pushing that was going on, it was inevitable that there would be a penalty. And Shola went up for a ball in the centre half, just cleaned him out, and we got a penalty, and Shearer made put that away to make it 2-1. So we've recovered a win, and we've recovered some goals. So our European adventure still going on at the moment, which is great. We then have a home match in what I regard, in my old-fashioned way, as the other derby in the northeast against Middlesbrough. Middlesbrough playing well, but we still should be beating them. They're not up with us. Full house on a Monday night at 8 o'clock, and given back and goal, otherwise the team's unchanged. Stephen Caldwell comes in as a substitute, and Steve Harper's back on as a substitute goalkeeper. Middlesbrough was Mark Schwartz on goal, Parnaby, a one called Gareth Southgate in the back four, Ekiog, Quadru, Jeremy, Botang, Greening, Job, Nemeth, and Macaroni. They're a good football side, Middlesbrough, doing quite well. And because their manager was none other than a man called Steve McLaren. But we're just too good for them. They're not going to get into this game. 20 minutes, Amiobi scores a nice header from a corner. And then the game looks like it's going out as a 1-0. But Stephen Caldwell comes on as substitute and heads a goal on 87 minutes to give us 2-0, which is great. Points pick up, and we're well up the top of the league. We're well over halfway in the league, which is fantastic. The next game is to is Everton at home in the cup, with the League Cup, as we call it nowadays. It's a game, again, we're at home, so we shouldn't really be worried about this, but Everton aren't a bad side. We get into the game quite well, but unfortunately, on 11 minutes, Kevin Campbell, their centre forward, dangerous centre forward, makes it 1-0, so we go in 1-0 down. And then Dyer scores two goals in 77, 78 minutes to make 2-1 look like we're going to go through. But then no other than a young man called Watson, our ex-player, scores an equaliser on 86 minutes. So we're into extra time. And on 100 minutes... Pistoni, our fullback, who's just brought in by, Pistoni, who was their fullback, used to be our fullback, scores an own goal, and it looks like we're going to get through on 3-3-3-2. But almost the last kick of the game, David Unsworth slots a penalty in after Dabizas handles the ball in the area. So it's 3-3, and it goes to penalties. And unfortunately, we didn't have our shooting boots on that night, and neither did they. But they managed to win the penalties 3-2 on penalties, which is, imagine, 10 penalties on two Premiership sides, and they could only score 5 of them. I find that quite abysmal, to be honest, but that's my jaundiced view of the world. So that's where our League Cup challenge, well and truly, out of the way. It's then off to an away game at Highbury with Arsenal. Another difficult game, but Arsenal are one of three sides that's been tipped by the pundits for the title. Manchester United, Liverpool and Arsenal are the three teams. And Arsenal, with their team of all-stars, well and truly look like they're in for it. Our side unchanged, except that where Bobby brings Harper in for the European Cup, he's put Given back in for the league game, and we've got Given, Hughes, Dabizas, O'Brien, Griffin, Solano, Viana, Jenis, Speed, Dyer and Shearer. Slight mix up of the team. But Arsenal, Seaman and goal, Lushny, Keegan, Sol Campbell, Ashley Cole, Lundberg, Vieira, Silva, Wiltford, Bergkamp and Thierry Henry. A very talented side. However, we give as good as we get. And sadly, about 25 minutes, we sort of caught napping in a corner, and Wilfred sneaks in and heads in a close-range header for a 1-0 lead at half-time. After that, it's ding-dong. Second half, either side could have scored goals, but didn't, and Arsenal end up 1-0 winners. And a good account of ourselves against a team that's being touted as possible title winners. Then we're off to Holland, to Amsterdam, to Rotterdam rather, for Feyenoord. And they give us a run around at St James, as we owe them one. And lo and behold, that's exactly what the lads do. They really have a go at this game. I don't know whether it was some secret that Bobby had picked up or whatever, but left them breathless at times, and certainly had a go at it. We weren't just going to sit back and defend. Given stays in goal this time for the European Cup match, and teams otherwise unchanged. And on 45 minutes, just at the last kick, Bellamy makes it 1-0. Just after half time, Hugo Viana, the Portuguese lad, 49 minutes, makes it 2-0. And it looks like we're cruising. And then Lurling and Barbiardia on 65 and 66 minutes, in the space of a blink of an eye, make it 2-2. And think, oh, goodness, all that hard work, and we're not even going to get a point out of it. But not to be undone, on 90 minutes, none other than Craig Bellamy slips through their defence and makes it 3-2. So we come back with a good away victory again. So having recovered yet again more European ground, the lads can come back feeling quite proud of themselves. Next match, we're at home to Southampton. Southampton, a good footballing side, good reputation for footballing side. Over 50,000 in the ground, Southampton with some good players, near me in goal, Dodd, Bridge, Wayne Bridge at the fullback, Oakley at the centre back, Svensson, two Svenssons in the midfield for them. Fernandes, James Beattie, a very dangerous centre forward, and Ormrod, a big forward who good at scoring with headers. That was his biggest challenge. Good game, some good football. We get a bit of a shock on 2 minutes when James Beattie rattles one in on 2 minutes, it looks like that's how it might stay, but slowly but surely they pull it back. The lads pull it back, and just before half time, Amiobi sent through by Dyer and makes it 1-1 for half time. Second half, some end to end stuff. Didn't look like anybody was going to score until 54 minutes. We get a corner, and Southampton, for some reason, don't mark Hughes. And he just almost standing still header. He didn't even have to jump, as my memory. Makes it 2-1, and we get a 2-1 victory, which very nicely cements our position well in the top half of the league. And it's a good victory in terms of our league position, the way things are going. And we then have a face a trip to Old Trafford, who are well and truly favourites to win the title. It's a game which, remember, a lot of buzz about the game before, and a lot of stuff in the Chronicle about various other games. And it's a Saturday game, but it's a 12:15 kickoff at Old Trafford. 70,000 crowd. We get off to a reasonable start. Scores for them on 25. Bernard scores for us on 35. Van Nistelrooy scores for them on 38. But then it doesn't go to do it again just before half time. They make it 3-1 at half time. And after the half time whistle, we come out and have a go at them. And Shearer and Bellamy both score to make it to 4-3. But then just to rub it in, Solskjaer scores and makes it 5-3. But an excellent game, a really, really, really good game, good football. And the Manchester United side, which you've had a picture of, and there's Andy O'Brien having a go at that's Florian, with the headband on. Barthez, Blank, Brown, O'Shea, Sylvester scores. Fortune, Giggs, Van Nistelrooy, Forlan, and Solskjaer. And they're playing brilliantly. There's no question about that. For us, unchanged team again, right, Bobby? Given Hughes, Dabizas, O'Brien, Griffin, Bernard, Jenner, Speed, Dyer, Bellamy, and Shearer. We give it a go. It's the best way to describe that one. Lie down and let it happen. We give them enough rights to make them think about it that we're in the game, and as the slogan says, we want a team that tries. Would be happy with that. Well, they certainly tried in that one. There's no question. Next game is an interesting game and another European Cup game against none other than Inter Milan, and lots of excitement about this, but it's full house again. I love in this set of literature that I'm using now, it describes the conditions as catastrophic. Well, I think he's talking about the bloody result, not the weather conditions. Catastrophic. I like that when I read it. Anyway, Inter Milan come. And it's quite clear from the off, they're not here to defend. They're playing really, really clever football. And within 2 minutes, Montefio has been at 1-0. 35 minutes, Ali Miada made it 2-0. 45 minutes, just straight after the kickoff. Sorry, just before the half time, 3-0, Crespo. And Nobby on 72 minutes pulls one back to make it 3-1, but Rabocca makes it 4-1 at the end, and Milan run out easy winners. That was a big disappointment. I remember in the Gallagher corner how people thought we would do better than that, but we just met a side playing well with lots of players and the names, you know, Toldolto and goal, Zanetti, Mazzaretti, Cannavaro, Pasquale, Okan, Emery, Alimera, Motifo, Crespo, Vieri. They're all seasoned Italian internationals with dozens of caps. So a good side. But from a neutral, that would have been a good game to watch. But for a Jory supporter, it was murder. They actually crucified him. So I think when he talks about the weather conditions being catastrophic, he's got mixed up in the game. I think he let the game go to his head. But never mind. We're then at home to Everton. Everton are not being touted as champions, but they're being touted as one of the sides that's on the up. and we nearly full house again. Our side unchanged, given Griffin O'Brien. Oh, sorry, Stephen Colwell comes in for Dabizas, who's injured. Bernard, Solano, Dyer, Speed, Robert, Shearer and Bellamy, and Everton with Wright, Hibbert, Yobo, Stubbs, Alan Stubbs, Unsworth, Carsley, Ty Lee, Gravison, Pembridge, Kevin Campbell and Radzinski. A tidy side, but one we should beat. However, typical Newcastle, we get the freight of our lives on 17 minutes when Kevin Campbell, a centre-forward, dashes through and makes it 1-0. And it looks like that's how it's going to stay. Everton hanging on. We're hammering and hammering away. Looks like we're going to lose it. But then 86 minutes, none other than Mr. Shearer himself pops up and makes it 1-1. And everybody thinks, oh, thank goodness for that. Well, he's not finished because just before the almost the last kick of the game, he fires in a shot. It hits their defender, Ty Lee, and rebounds into the bottom corner. And we get a 2-1 win, which fixes us nicely at the in the top four in the league, which is not where we're supposed to be. You know, we're not being touted as champions, but the way we're playing, it making quite a show of it. Next game is away to Aston Villa. At Villa Park. 30,000 at the game. Very cold night, apparently. There was actually before the game finished. I remember the people were talking about the fact that there was frost forming on the pitch as the players were finishing the game. Anyway, we go and make a good account of ourselves. And nil-nil at half time, end-to-end stuff, but nobody looking like they're going to score any goals. Then lo and behold, all not last kick of the game, but 85 minutes is not far away. And Mr. Shearer pops up with a pile driver from the corner of the area and makes it 1-0 to us. And that's how it stays. We come home with a victory at Villa Park, which are rare. Villa side, Enkelman, the goalkeeper, became famous for scoring a goal himself from nearly his own penalty area, one of those that lobbed over the goalkeeper and the goalkeeper missed it. Samuel, Melberg, Johnson, Barry, Gareth Barry, even then, you know, it started. La Cruz, Stephen Hendry, who we see on television now, Leonardson, Hitzelberger, Dion Dublin and Darius Vassell. A tidy side, but a one which we were just capable of knocking back. Our side, one change, Janice comes in because an injury to Loire. And we go home very nicely with a 1-0 win, which sits us nicely in the top four. So we now come back to, we're now on a European trip abroad to Barcelona and to the Nou Camp. And it's typical, Bobby, before the match, is talking about having a go at this one and sends an unchanged team. And in fairness, they do. The lads do have a go at this one. Danny scores for them in 7 minutes. Shola scores equaliser on 24. Patrick Kluivert, soon to be a Newcastle player, 35 minutes, breaks it 2-1. And that's look how it's going to stay. But then Motta, the very clever international player, makes it 3-1. 3-1 loss, but the lads did give it a go. They didn't sit back and let it happen. One interesting point about ours is that Michael Chopra came on as a substitute in this game and made his European debut. Barcelona team, of course, filled with internationals from all over Europe. Reitziger, De Boer, Puyol, Cook, Cocu, Xavi, Motta, Overmars, Clive, Danny. I mean, there's half the Dutch international team in there. The side did well. We just weren't going to get to any further than that. Home now to an away game at Southampton, at St Mary's Stadium now, that they're long gone. And Bobby sends virtually the European side down, except he brings Stephen Caldwell in because there's an injury to Zabizas. Southampton, Jones, Bridge, Svensson, Lundervan, Telfer, Fernandez, Delap. Delap of the very long throw. He could throw a ball further than many people could kick it. And Svensson, Marsden, Beattie and Ormerod. Slightly it changes from when they played at St. James's Park. Tidy game. End-to-end stuff, but nobody looked like they were going to disturb the onion bag. And second half set off in the same way. And then all of a sudden it burst to life. On 50 minutes, Bellamy runs through and makes it 1-0 to us. In 52 minutes, Marsden does the same for them and makes it 1-1. And then after what was like a 10-minute fury, it calmed down again and slowly petered out to a 1-1 draw. But nonetheless, for us, 1-1 draw was good. Phil Dowd, the referee, a 1-1 draw for us was good because it kept us in the top four, which... as I keep saying, was not where we're supposed to be at all. Then we're home to Fulham. Decent side, but not one that should be troubling us. At St James's, nearly full house. Unchained side. Caldwell's kept in because of the injury to Dabizas. Otherwise, the same team. Fulham with... mixture of their own stars and stars from elsewhere. Van der Sar, the goalkeeper that they got from Manchester United. Brevet, Melville, Goma at centre-half, who they got from us. Worm, Goldbeck, Davis, Diou, Lejwinski, Marlett and Malbrank. Malbrank, a very, very dangerous wide man and one that had... a lot of people looking in his direction because he was playing well. Well, the game settled down quite nicely and we looked comfortable. And on 8 minutes, it was no surprise when Nobby Solano made it 1-0 with a nice little touch, as was his wont at times. And we just held them steadily until 70 minutes. Craig Bellamy dashes in to get a typical... low header into the bottom corner to make it 2-0, and so we get a nice 2-0 victory, which keeps us in the right position in the league and starting to surprise people, the fact that we're even hanging around that part of the league. So then we are away to Bolton Wanderers, the Reebok Stadium. Exciting game, end to end, and within the first 10 minutes, it's going to be exciting when Shearer scores on 8 minutes, Okocha on 9, Gardner on 10, so it's 2-1 to Bolton. Then right on the last kick of the half, Ricketts scores to them and makes it 3-1 to them at half time. And everybody's thinking, oh goodness, this has gone terribly wrong, but Shearer comes out after half time and it's really given them a hard time. But despite that, it's them that score. Ricketts scores again and makes it 4. But then Amiobi on 72, Shearer on 78, and the scoreline looks more healthy at 4-3. And Bolton are having to hang on. Newcastle really have a go at this one. And unfortunately, we couldn't get the equaliser. It ended up 4-3. Bolton team, some characters in that. Jaskalainen and goal. Charlton, Bergson, Whitlow, Barnes, Fransden, Okocha, Jokiev, Gardner, Pedersen and Ricketts. Pedersen and Ricketts, very dangerous pairing in the Premiership. I think it's fair to say that had they not been in that Bolton side, they would have been relegated, I think. That's how desperate they are. Referee worth remembering, Uriah Rennie, a big, tall, coloured man, black man, made his name up here for sending Alan Shearer off, of course. It's at James's Park of all places, but wasn't going to make him ref of the month, not up here anyway. And next game is at home to Tottenham. Tottenham, one of the sides, has been touted as possible champions, so it's not going to be easy. They're going to want to get points. And same side, Bobby, very faithful with his team this particular season. Spurs, Keller, Perry, Bergovic, King, Carr, who eventually becomes to us, Poirier, who they got from Chelsea and who ends up as Sunderland manager eventually, Frund, Davies, Tarico, Keane, Robbie Keane, and Iverson. A very talented football side. And it's a good game. Good football. 17 minutes, Gary Speed scores with a typical Gary Speed free kick. Shearer, second half, just runs Spurs ragged. On 58 minutes, it's no surprise when he scores and makes it 2-0. But then a deflection of Dabizatsu, who's come on as a substitute, rolls into the bottom corner, much to Giffen's horror, and it ends up 2-1. But we hold him off. There's no any question that we're going to lose this one. And so we get a 2-1 victory. One or two little niggles towards the end. The Spurs defenders having a go at Shearer. And three yellow cards in the space of 5 minutes towards the end, which spoiled what was a good game, to be perfectly honest. Never mind. So the next game is another home game, but this time at home to Liverpool. It's going to be a tough game against Liverpool, always. End-to-end stuff from the kickoff, no question. To Wednesday night match, 7:45 kickoff, and Liverpool pressing all the time, but we giving as good as we get. Early exchanges, nothing looked like it's going to break, and then we get a free kick at the Leeds' end, attack the Leeds' end on the right hand side, and Wells outside the penalty area. And who should stride up to take it but none other than Laurent Robert. And he goes through his gunslinger routine, cleaning his boots, folding his socks, straightening his shorts, and all that sort of thing. And wallop. Screaming across the penalty area. If anybody in the wall had attempted to put the head on it, it would have knocked the head clean off, because Kirkland in the Liverpool goal would just... looking in amazement as he picked the ball out of the net, because it was in before he could even think about it. So we've got a goal up. We're 1-0 in 17 minutes, and it means Liverpool have a go, and we see quite an interesting match. Our side's unchanged, an unchanged side, Liverpool, Kirkland's in goal now. A young man called Carragher at fullback, Henshaw's, Hippier, Rissier, Biscan, Gerard, Diabo, Chiru, Barros, and Diouf, Hadj Diouf, talented player, but always in trouble. irritating little monkey. He's had a reputation for spitting at people and all that sort of horrible stuff. But what a dangerous player. And we see it out 1-0. We get challenged, yes, because it's Liverpool, but we hang on and it's a 1-0. And lo and behold, we find ourselves not in the top four, but in the top three. And we go away to a FA Cup game, FA Cup third round, at Molineux against Wolves. And, well, everybody's buoyed up after all those victories and beating Liverpool. Got to be a result here. Well, yes, so we think. unchanged team, given Hughes, Griffin, O'Brien, Renard, etc. On the substitutes comes Clarence Acuña again, and Loa goes is on the subs bench. It's end to end stuff. We're having a go, and so are Wolves. And looks like we're in trouble though, because in 6 minutes, Paul Ince scores first opener for them. And then, would you believe, Kennedy on 28 minutes makes it 2-0 for them. Jermaine Gies gets one back on 40 minutes. And then last kick of the half is a penalty. And Shearer makes it 2-2. So they go in 2-2, which has been a really entertaining cup tie, a proper cup tie. Carries on in the same vein, but unfortunately we can't stick the ball in the net. They have a very talented African player called Nadin, very pacey player. Well, he paces the ball into the net on 49 minutes just after half time. And try as we might, rattle this woodwork and all of it, we keep having a go, but we just can't get the ball in the net. And that's the end of the FA Cup, unfortunately. We then have a second visit to the Midlands very quickly after that. To London after that, to West Ham. And it's a game we should win, because West Ham aren't playing any great shit. Well, aren't in the sort of league position that we are. So we're still hanging around third and fourth in the league, which was quite something. And it looks promising, because at 9 minutes, Bellamy scores. But then Joe Cole for them on 14 minutes makes it 1-1. And then, lo and behold, just before last kick of the half, Jermaine Defoe makes it 2-1 to them at half-time. However, when they come out, Newcastle have a go and keep pressing and pressing. Then on 81 minutes, Jermaine Jeunesse makes it 2-2. And that's how it stays. But end-to-end stuff in the game. A good football game for both sides. And a very entertaining game. Referee of note, Jeff Winter from Teesside, refereeing the match, I don't know. I think if that was to happen these days, there'd be hue and cry that somebody from the Northeast was refereeing a Newcastle match. Didn't seem to bother it quite as much in those days. And I think we were the better for it, actually. We then are at home to Manchester City. Game we would like to win. Biggest crowd of the season, just short of 53,000. It must have been jam-packed for them to have that many in. And it was. I remember the fact it was. And a good game, entertaining stuff. And one of Shearer's quickest goals, 10.25 seconds. played back the centre-half, played forward into their penalty area, and as it dropped over his shoulder, Shearer volleyed it into the bottom corner. Silence before the crowd erupted, because they didn't realise what had happened. It happened so quick. But set the tone. We never looked like losing it. Manchester City kept having a go, but they weren't in it at the end, to be perfectly honest. It was our game. And on 64 minutes, Bellamy adds a second to make it 2-0. City and their team have got Nash, you've got Dunn, Steve Howie, Distan, Berbier, Thor, Horlock, Jensen, Gorta, and Anelka. A good entertaining game and an enjoyable one if you're a Newcastle fan. Beat them 2-0. Then we've got another Premiership game against Bolton. We're catching up with games that we've had postponed because of European games. That's how we've got so many, one after the other at home. And we owe them one because they turned us over at their ground. Unchanged team from Bobby. I think this particular season, I think he only used about 24 players in the whole season, which is unusual. Good football game, end-to-end stuff. Either team could have scored, but didn't. 18 minutes, Jermaine Jenas is in the penalty area and left in marks and side foots a one in to make it 1-0. And Bolton have a go, but we resist, and that's how it stays for the rest of the game. A very nice 1-0 win, and hard-earned, but deserved, I think, is the best way to describe it. Bolton team, Jaskalainen, Mendy, Gotti, Bergson, Barnes, Charlton, and a young man called Nolan comes into the side. Now, that's the Nolan that we remember as Kevin, who was starred for us, but that's him coming into the Bolton side. And a good 1-0 win, which cements, again, that position that we've got in third place, as we are now. And next game's an away game at Spurs. Not going to be easy by any stretch of the imagination. We're going to have to be on our mettle for this one. And the lads just give it a go. It's as simple as that. Bobby Robson had obviously said to them, go at them, and they did from the kickoff. And it was end to end stuff. Either side could have scored. We could have scored particularly though. And everybody thought, well, that's it, 0-0. That's very nice, except they forgot about a young man called Kieran Dyer, who turned on his skills. Mazy dribble, got right into the penalty area, right into the goal box, and then slipped at the Jenas to nearly burst the net from no yards to make it 1-0 to Newcastle. A famous 1-0 victory, and a well-deserved 1-0 victory. For Spurs, Keller, Gardner, Carr, King, Richards, Bergvich, Poirier, Sheringham, Anderton, Keane and Davies, and very talented side, but we took them on their own pitch, and that was really something. We then come home to Arsenal, who are knocking on the door of the top of the league, where we're hoping to hang on to third or fourth. And we just give it a go. It's quite clear that there was Arsenal weren't going to defend. They were going to have a go. And with a talented side like theirs, who would? I mean, it was always going to be a good football game with their side. And Seaman, Lauren, Keown, who we see on the telly, Campbell, Cole, Wilford, Silva, Vieira, Perez, Bergkamp, and Thierry Henry. And we're a side. However, we're the same, unchanged, given Bernard, O'Brien, Bramble, Hughes, Dyer, Solano, Jenas, Robert, Shearer and Bellamy, and from the kickoff end to end stuff, and some very, very talented play by Perez and Bergkamp and Henry given our defence to run around. No surprise, on 35 minutes when Thierry Henry ran through and made it 1-0. And it looked like they might stay like that until the second half, 53 minutes exactly. We get a free kick. Same scenario. Right side of the penalty area, outside of the penalty area by a mile. Who should stroll over from the left to take it but none other than Laurent Robert. And he fires in an Exocet missile straight into the top corner before David Seaman can move. It's nestled in the back of the net. Unbelievable power that man could get into a free kick. It was just another dimension in terms of how hard somebody can hit the ball. I can't remember many people who could hit the ball as hard as Laurent Robert. Shearer could, but even then, not from a dead ball. Laurent Robert was a real specialist. Anyway, 1-1. We get on 53 minutes, and we peg the Arsenal back, which is great news. Not great news for them because it's affecting their chances at the top for the title. We now have Bayer Leverkusen in the European Cup again, and a game which we go with some trepidation because we don't know much about them. Well, I don't know what we're worried about, because on 5 minutes, Amiobi scores. Frank equalises for them. Amiobi scores again. Then 32 minutes, Lualawa makes it 3-1. And it's easy peasy for Newcastle. Too easy, in fact, some would say. But 3-1 it was at half-time, and 3-1 it stayed till the end. A really good victory against a strong Leverkusen side with a smattering of Dutch and German internationals in. Chris Simak, Franke, Baradik, Nouvel, and Keith Klein, all seasoned internationals. And a nice 3-1 win to Newcastle United, which came as quite a surprise. We're away now to Leeds United. Now, we owe them one, because at the match at St James's, they turned us over very easily, too easily, in fact. And a good crowd at Ellen Road. And again, I must read the weather conditions. Clear skies, except above the boardroom. Leeds were starting to have some trouble. Well, we give them more trouble, because this is a match we won very easily indeed. Dion, 17 minutes, gives with the lead. Straight after half-time, Dyer again, 48 minutes. Then on the hour, Shearer rubs it in with another one, 3-0. And Leeds just never in the game. I think the description of the weather, he gets carried away with his football sometimes. Clear skies except above the boardroom. I like that. That's quite sort of thing that somebody like Len Shackleton would write. unchanged team, given Hughes, Griffin, etc. And really, really played well, absolutely well. And Leeds, well, great, good team out. It was a weak team. Robinson, Mills, Radaby, Dewberry, Bravo, Kelly, Ocon, Johnson, Wilcox, Kewell, and Smith, Alan Smith. And try as they might, they couldn't get near us. And that was a very, very good victory. Alan Willey was the referee. Good referee, noted for speaking at the time when they weren't supposed to. But when he spoke, you listened, because he always spoke sense. At least I thought so anyway. I don't know if that's a compliment or not, because I think so. Bayer Leverkusen coming back to St. James's Park by the second leg in Europe. And, we repeat the doors. they have a go, but 5 minutes Shearer, 11 minutes Shearer, 36 minutes Shearer. And it's 3-0 at half time. 80 minutes, and their German centre forward Babic scores a consolation, but it really is a consolation. Never in the game, but what a great victory, and Good football match. We played really well in that game. So a 3-1 win. So that's our European ambitions well and truly still in the mix, as it were. We're now at home to Chelsea, well, we owe them one as well because they turned us over at their place. But a good game, some good football, both sides. First half, there was a goal, but it was a strange one. It was our corner, in Jimmy Hasselbank, the centre forward, was in the penalty area. Don't know who he was marking, but whoever it was, the ball went off his shoulder into the top corner before the goalkeeper could move. So we got a fluky 1-0 win, lead. Then on 37 minutes, Frank Lampard scored his beautiful goal from the edge of the area to make it 1-1. And second half looks like that's how it's going to end, because it's end-to-end stuff without anybody really threatening the goal. And then from a corner from the right side, Oliver Bernard sneaks in at the left side and wallops in a close-range shot to make it 2-1. And that's how it stayed till the end. We've now got Woodgate in the defence. So he's in, and Bramble's on the bench. Fiona's come back in, as he's back in favour with Bobby and in place of Amiobi. But otherwise, the rest have played just about every game. Chelsea, Cudicini, Melchiot, Gallas, Terry, John Terry, Babiaro, Gronkia, Morris, Lampard, Stanich, Hasselbank, and Gudjonsson. A good Chelsea side, and a good 2-1 win to keep us where we hope we'd stay. We then have the return leg of the Tyne Tees derby at Middlesbrough at the Riverside Stadium. And, we want to win this one if we can, but first half's very dour, 0-0, most dour 0-0 you could see. Then second half, it wakes up a little bit, and it's the Middlesbrough Brazilians that wake it up, though, Jeremy and Juninho, playing some beautiful, beautiful football. And is no surprise on 62 minutes when Jeremy actually makes it 1-0. And try as we might, we couldn't get back in the game. So that's a disappointing 1-0 victory at Middlesbrough, but it hasn't damaged our league position too much. We're still in the top five, at least. We now go to Inter Milan the return leg of the European League, with trepidation. Remember, the wallop were 4-1 at St James's, and everybody thought that it was going to be like that again when we went to Italy, or even worse. Well, at half time we went in 1-0 up because of a certain Mr. Shearer. Second half kicked off with Vieri scoring for them to equalise. And then on 49 minutes, the same Mr. Shearer makes it 2-1 to Newcastle. And he's got the Italians running every which way, because they're really worried about them. 60 minutes, Cordoba scores an equaliser. And that's how it stays. So from getting thumped at St James's off them, we actually gave a good account of ourselves and give it a real shot, and at least that salvaged some reputation after the hammering they give way at St James's. We're now away to Charlton, good football side, but we should be beating Charlton, exactly what happens. It's a decent football game. But 33 minutes, we get a penalty, and of course Shearer dispatches that quite nicely. And then after the start of the second half, 49 minutes, Nobby Solano with a beautiful flighted shot from the wing over the top of the defenders and Keely and goal to make it 2-0 for Newcastle United. And but Charlton were never in the game. They were never going to get anything out of it. And we end up with a nice 2-0 victory with some characters in the Charlton side, of course. Johansson, Bartlett, Ewell, Scott Parker, Powell, who's a man that's making his way nicely at management at the moment. Fortune, who was a South African player with them. But they just didn't match. We were just 2-0, and it never looked like being anything else. So, and most importantly, because it cements our position at the top of the league. And so we're now home to a return leg in the European Championship with Barcelona at St. James's. And we want to get back at them after the loss in Barcelona, but we know it's not going to be easy. Well, they just play superb football. There's no new way to describe it. Unchanged team for us, given Griffin, Bernard, etc. And apart from the odd flourish by Shearer, it's Barcelona all night. And they 0-0 at half time, but they never looked in trouble. In the second half, they just took the game off us with Clivert and Xavi and Rummenigge and Anderson, De Boer, just holding the game and playing the game out the way they wanted. Clivert on 60 minutes, Mota on 74, 2-0 to Barcelona, and it was not a disgrace. They were just too good for us, is the honest answer. So then we have Blackburn Rovers at St. James's Park. Now, they throttled us at Ewood Park, 5-3, I think it was. So a little bit of revenge required here. Full house at St. James's, and an unchanged team. And we get off to a cracking start with Nobby Solano in 24 minutes scoring a goal. And looks like it might be like that. Then suddenly there's a spark, and Damien Duff equalises on 54 minutes to make it 1-1. Then Lon Robert gets a beautiful goal to make it 2-1. Jermaine Genus in 85, 3-1. Own goal by one of their defenders, Gresco, makes it 4-1. And to put the tin hat on it, to go nap, Bellamy on 90 minutes to make it 5-1. The only amazing thing about that match to me was that Shearer's name's not on the score sheet, because he did everything but score. He made at least three of the goals for the others. So a nice revenge for 5-1 against Blackburn, and sitting us nice and firmly, now pushing for second place, never mind third place, which is surprising everyone. We then go to Goodison Park, to Everton, see if we can get a result. Well, if you didn't know anything about the result and you looked at this man's weather record, he says weather conditions sunny but sickening. So you know what's coming, folks. We played well, and but Everton just played that little bit better. And had in their team a young man by the court name of Rooney, who just ran us ragged, is the only way to describe it. 18 minutes he scored. Lauren Robert equalised with a free kick on 40. But then on 65 minutes, Rooney was pulled down in the area by Titus Bramble, and a penalty by Unsworth on 65. And Everton won 2-1. So that's where the sickening in the weather conditions comes from, because we're lost. I love that. Weather conditions. Yeah, sickening, yeah. Yeah, great. And now we're home to the team that's top of the league, and they're going to win the title. They're miles ahead. I think at this stage, about 12 points ahead. So the title's theirs, Manchester United, of course. And no surprise, they come and they... Worst thing we do is score. Jenna scores on 21 minutes and Manchester United just go bananas. Schalke scores, gigs. And that's were 4-1 down before half-time, by half-time. And they were playing superbly. Champions in the making, no question about it. Unchained team from us outplayed, the only way to describe it. 86 minutes, Sholei Miobi gets consolation forward after Van Nistelrooy had made it six. His goals, rather, had got his hat-trick and then Van Nistelrooy made it six for Manchester United. And don't think Scholes will ever have got a more easy hat-trick than that one. But they were just almost untouchable. They were so good, but never mind. And the weather conditions, guess, folks, catastrophic. I love that, catastrophic. So before you go to the match, read these weather conditions. So we know we've played the likely champions. As I say, they're 10 or 12 points ahead at that stage with very few games left. So next game is Fulham, at Fulham. And... it's being played at Loftus Road, because Craven Cottage is under redevelopment. It looks quite good. 39 minutes, Shearer makes it 1-0. And it looks like we're fairly comfortable. But the second half, Fulham really have a go. And Ledwinski and Clark, they're two dangerous forwards, score and make it 2-1. In the second goal, just on 88 minutes, we'd really nearly scraped the point, but we didn't. But it's a 2-1 loss, and not catastrophic from our point of view. We're not doing too badly. We now got Aston Villa at home, and full house again. End to end, some good football side, two good football teams playing decent football. And 37 minutes, Nobby Solano makes it 1-0. Looks like it's ours, but then very carelessly, Jonathan Woodgate leaves Dion Dublin standing on his own in the penalty area at a corner. And on 69 minutes, it's 1-1. And it was end-to-end stuff to the end, but never really looked like anybody would capitalise on what was happening. And... a 1-1, but it meant that our position in the league was safe. And the next game, of course, is the return leg of the derbies at Sunderland and at the Stadium of Light. Win here, and we're cemented at third, which is incredible. So nobody imagined that we would get third. And the man that writes this, I think I know who writes this actually, but it says conditions unbeaten, the sun continues to shine on the town. So you know what the result is, don't you? We beat them 1-0. A good entertaining game, a good side. But Solano takes the penalty this time and makes it 1-0. And huff and puff is the mate. Sunderland couldn't get one back. Introduced a big young centre-forward, Kyle, into that team. I always think Kyle was underrated centre-forward, but that's it. He really was good. And we coast really at the end. They don't really trouble us. So that fixes us firmly in third position in the Premiership, which is, as I say, nobody really give us a ghost. Even the local press didn't give us a ghost of of being there at the start of the season. And next, Birmingham at St James's Park. Birmingham not playing well, hovering around the bottom, and everybody thinks it should be a walk war. Well, it's not. Birmingham aren't giving anything away, and they have a real go. But on 42 minutes, Hugo Viana scores for Newcastle to give us a 1-0 half-time lead. And that's the way it stays. End-to-end stuff, because Birmingham really have a go, because they're in danger of relegation, so they have a go. And it stays 1-0 right until the end, and firmly and cements us as third place in the Premiership, which is nice. Totally unexpected. Just reward for Bobby Robson and the work he did. Last game is an away game, unfortunately. Unfortunately, we'd always like the end of the season on a home game if we can. But we're away to West Brom, and end with a really, really entertaining game. Two sides having a go with nothing to fight for, no relegation, nothing like that, just the league position. And it's very entertaining indeed, with Bobby sending out virtually the same team he's played all season, given Griffin O'Brien. Stephen Colwell comes in because Dabizas is injured. Hughes, Solano, Jenis, Dyer, Viana, Amiobi, and Lua, because Shearer's injured for this last game. West Brom, Holt, goalkeeper character, Walwork at fullback, James Chambers, Geordie in fullback, Clement, Johnson, Taylor, and Adichio, centre forward that they got from Chelsea. Dangerous player, but unpredictable. And it's an entertaining game. Jenis scores on 43 for us. Dobie scores 57 for them. Then 72 minutes, Dobie makes it 2-1 to them. Then Hugo Viana on 80 minutes scores a lovely goal to make it 2-2. So we end our season with a 2-2 draw at West Brom. And totally unexpectedly, third place in the Premiership, which nobody expected. A good run in the Champions League again, which nobody expected. It took Barcelona to take us out of contention for that. And gave a good account of ourselves. Let ourselves down in both cups. Went out in the third round of the FA Cup and first round of the League Cup. But, you can't have everything this year, but as you probably people who watch this know, that I'm a greedy little duck. I like everything for Newcastle United. But it was a good season, and I don't think Bobby got the credit he deserved for that season. But we played some good football, attacking stuff, and average crowd just short of 52,000 again. Season after season we do this, hardly anybody outside of the Northeast even recognises that, great stuff. Top goal scorer, well, who else? Mr. Shearer, another 27 goals in the bag. And you're going to be third top in the league, or anywhere near the top of the league. You need somebody that can do that at centre forward or somewhere in the front line. As to what what else was worth saying, well, Manchester United champions by 14 points, which is phenomenal. I mean, they're not my favourite side, but you've got to give credit where credit's due. 14 points is it takes some catching. A good season, in my view, and a one that we should have built on. Did we? Well, you'll have to wait and see.
2002, 2003, complete, George. Thanks, as always, for your time putting it together.
My pleasure.
Look forward to the next one, mate. Take care.
Thank you for watching, everybody. Thank you.
A big thanks to all our sponsors, Skips and Bins. Go to their website, skipsandbins.com. Email inquiries at skipsandbins.com or telephone 0800 25 45 25 3. Easy contract free and pay-as-you-go waste collection. Thanks to Mr. Vicky's Sauces, handmade in Cumbria. Go to their website, mrvickys.co.uk. Email info at mrvickys.co.uk or telephone 01768 210 102. Thanks to United Group Travel. Go to their website, unitedgrouptravel.com. Email info at unitedgrouptravel.com or phone 01670 632 460 or mobile 0791 666 4174. They're a local company from Morpeth and there are no strangers on our tours, just friends you haven't met yet. Big thanks to Media Arts for all the help with the video side of things. And if you want to subscribe to the channel, hit the subscribe button under the video. Click the thumb up to like the video and click share to share to your social media. If you want to help the channel financially, you can pay a one-off £25 fee. You get a cup, a scarf, a pen and a membership card and entry into the NUFC Matters monthly draw. Email John at nufcmatters.com for more details. Or if you've got a smartphone, scan the QR code now and it takes you straight to the membership pack. We also support the food bank on this channel. Go to nufcfansfoodbank.co.uk and you'll find the matchday bucket. You can make a donation virtually today. You can also find us on iTunes, Spotify and other podcast providers. We also do events during the year. NUFC Matters Live will be at the O2 City Hall on Friday the 2nd of August for an evening with Rob Lee, One Night in Antwerp. Tickets start at £15 and you can get them from ticketmaster.co.uk. An evening with the entertainers takes place on Friday the 24th of January 2025 at the Tyne Theatre and Opera House in Newcastle. Telephone 0844 249 1000 or visit the website tynetheatreandoperahouse.uk to buy tickets today. You can also catch me on the North East Footy Breakfast Show live on Toon Radio weekdays 7 till 9 a.m. on DAB, smart speakers and the Toon UK.com.